You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. As a life coach, Nancy can teach you how to stay strong under pressure and work through challenges you face. Being legally blind, Nancy inspires others to be resilient in overcoming obstacles and live full out. You can ask Nancy for advice in your life on relationships, finance, business, health, and more. Just call in at 800-333-0001. Once again, that's 800-333-0001. Now, here's Nancy.
Hello and welcome to the Living Full Out Show. My name is Nancy Soleri, and today we're going to be talking about being open with others. I know sometimes that can be a little scary because what if we're open and then they judge us, or what if we're open and they slap our hand? But I promise you, when you're authentically you, it's just easy to be you, right? So stay with us. We're going to be taking your calls on that topic. Also, our inspirational guest in our next segment is Amy Gravino, who's going to talk about having autism and just all the things that she learned about, you know, finding out who she was, and also how she found her ability to be sexual and to be open with others and to create bonds. Because a lot of times with different individuals' autism, the social cues and just kind of feeling different is a factor. But she's very relatable. I know you're going to enjoy her interview very much. And I want to make sure that beyond today's show that you are supported. So you're always welcome to go to livingfullout.com. All of our episodes are there for you. Just pick the topic that, you know, has to deal with what you're going through the most right now. And hopefully we give you the words of inspiration to get over the hurdle. And, you know, we find that at Living Full Out, we really try to put out on social media postings that inspire you, that educate you, and hopefully you can share those with someone who may need some empowering as well. And I know that so many of us right now, we're itching to get out, we're on the go, it's a road trip or to the gym. Just remember that you can listen to the Living Full Out show by going to your app store. Just look out for Living Full Out Radio, because today we are discussing about, you know, being open with others, but that really comes with sometimes, you know, figuring out, you know, and assessing what's not working in our own life. You know, how can we grow a little taller, open our eyes and ears a little wider? So I'm going to go to the phone lines now. I hear we have a listener on the line. Hi, welcome to the Living Full Out Show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And how can I help you today?
I just have a question I was hoping you could answer.
Yes. What's going on?
I was wondering if you had any advice for how to juggle time between internship, work, and summer courses.
You know, boy, time is our biggest commodity, right? We wish we could have more than 24 hours, and some of that needs to be sleeping, right? When you consider the balance of those three that you mentioned, your internship, your job, your classes, where do you find that you struggle the most? Is it that you always feel like you're running that half an hour behind? Do you feel like you're not getting the sleep you need? Do you feel like you have too many balls in the air and you might drop one? What's the biggest struggle?
I think it's also about getting sleep and just feeling exhausted when I wake up the next morning.
Well, here's what I want you to think about. Two things. Number one is sleep is critical. So what you might do, I know time is time, right? But if you have time, invest in, you know, either CDs or music or podcasts that have, there is music that allows to put people to sleep. It's a very soothing voice. It kind of gets you dreaming. There's a lot of those. Also, sometimes white noise, just a fan, something that just distracts your mind from the to-do list that's recycling over and over again of the things you must get done. Or have a pad near your bed. So when something pops up and you think it's holding on to you from sleeping, write it down. It releases you to be able to sleep because now you know you won't forget. Or you might consider, you know, looking at different apps on your phone, again, that have noises. Some people like waves, some like camping, again, some, you know, just like, there is one, like I have a good friend who likes the sound of an airplane, right? Puts him to sleep. So there's a lot of different things you can do there. There's also different foods like cherries help people sleep. So you're never going to take away all the to-dos, all the demands, but there are things that you can do to help create a new routine. Okay? The other thing that I think is really important is when we invest our time in an internship, in work, in school, what gives me energy, and I have really long days as well, is I always think about what am I getting out of bed for, right? Or what am I working long hours for? And it's always going to be, what impact am I making? So when it comes to your internship, let's say, you want to think about, you know, all the tasks that you do, the recipients of that, how might it affect them? How might it inspire them? Or when you're at work, again, are you a team player? Are you helping out a colleague? How are you making a difference? And then, of course, with classes, it's all about your degree and what you want to ultimately do. And when you do that position down the line, who are you inspiring? Who are you empowering? Whose life are you changing? Now, that doesn't make the tired eyes untired, right? It doesn't make the overwhelmed mind less overwhelmed. But at least you know that you're in the fight for a reason. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
So when you consider a new nightly routine, that's number one. And then when you consider having that fire in your belly, that burning purpose inside, like you know why you're doing each of these three things and how you're going to impact other people, that will help you, you know, stay the course, right? And the last piece of advice I want to give you is it's okay sometimes to like give a little space. See, no one is ever going to be a mind reader. So if you're tired, if you're overwhelmed, unless you tell other people how you're feeling, they're not going to know. But let's say you're at work and you're having a really long day. It's okay to say to your boss or say to somebody that you need help or you need space or you need a break, because they want to give you that because they want you to thrive and do your job well. But they won't know unless you tell them. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for calling in. Now, I love that she asked about that question because sleep is so critical. I mean, I am thankfully one of those people that can fall asleep right away. And I never knew I was so lucky, but I have many, many, many friends that they, you know, the circus comes to town at night and they can't count sheep. They can't count dollars. They can't count anything. It doesn't help. So if you are finding that, you know, you're stressed, if you find that you can't sleep, that's so important with our topic today, which is being open with others, right? Because when you tell people what's going on, if that stress is gnawing at you, if the to-do list is too long, the demands are too much, you have to be able to stand up for yourself and say, hey, I need help. I need a break. I need a day off. Because people won't know otherwise, just like what I told our last caller. Also, when we consider opening up, a lot of times we're trying to be something. You're trying to be something in a career. You're trying to be a good spouse. You're trying to be a good neighbor, a good sibling, whatever. And that being something, it's a little bit like keeping up with the Joneses, which I know you guys have heard that saying. Or it's a little bit like almost playing the part. And that alone can be stressful. That's weights on your shoulders that you're carrying. I want you to take today and take those weights off. And it's not about, you know, disappointing people. You might, but you might not. It's not about failing. You might, but you might not. It's about being open with others, but also being open with yourself. And I know that there's a lot of times that I have to do that with my visual impairment. Unless I'm walking with my white cane, people don't always know that I can't see. But if they put out their hand and I don't go to shake it, they might be thinking, well, what's her problem? Why won't she shake my hand? Because I don't see their hand, right? But they're not going to know that. So I have to be open with them that I'm legally blind. And not only can I not see their hand, but I can't see their face, right? And then it all makes sense. So that is the same thing within life, how you want to be open. If you're having a bad day, let people know. If you're going through a heartbreak, try not to be a superhuman, let people in. When you do that, you're able to get more air, more oxygen, more energy, and be able to live full out. Now, stay with us in our next segment where we come back with Amy Gravino. It's a very inspiring story how this beautiful soul with autism has really gone on to coach others to know that despite their disability, they could have a very successful, thriving, happy life. And so I'm proud of her and I can't wait to share her story. Stay with us. I'm Nancy Soleri. This is the Living Full Out Show. It's all about being open with others. We'll be back.
Professional skateboarder Tony Hawk here with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck to remind you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you'll have the energy to skate through anything.
Nice play on words, Doc.
That's how I roll, Bugs. So whether you like to work the half pipe,
now that's catching air.
Kick the soccer ball around, or dance in your room.
Just move it your way.
For an hour a day.
The way you like to move, as long as you're moving.
Carve out some time every day and get active. Because it's time to do a 180 on what you think exercise is.
Because it can be whatever you want it to be. So be a player.
Be a player.
Get up and play an hour a day, Doc. Check out how to be a player at letsmove.gov.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
At www.letsmove.gov. Let's hear that one more time, Doc. That's www.letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
I'm Nancy Soleri, Certified Life and Business Coach. I want to invite you to the Personal Development Bootcamp. During the bootcamp, we're going to be looking at taking those insecurities that you have and getting rid of them. We're also going to look at ways in which you can thrive and live a life full of purpose. Go to livingfullout.com/bootcamp, livingfullout.com/bootcamp to sign up. I believe in you, and here's to you living your life full out.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
I'm Alec Baldwin. Like any parent, I'm concerned about children's health. Many kids don't eat as they should and are at risk for long-term health problems like diabetes and heart disease. But here's good news. Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and other low-fat vegetarian foods can protect our kids and keep the rest of the family healthy too. For a free booklet, call the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine at 1-877-685-KIDS or visit www.kidsgethealthy.org.
Thank you.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Solari. With Nancy's expertise, you'll learn how to embrace your potential and strive for success. If you have a question or need further support, send us an email at connect@livingfullout.com. Now, here's Nancy.
Thank you for joining us today. My name is Nancy Solari, and today we are talking on the Living Full Out show about being open with others. And we have brought you an inspirational guest today, Amy Glavino, who, being on the autism spectrum, has really found a way to crack the code on finding her happy, embracing being different, but yet recognizing where we are all similar. And that has taken decades here for her to figure out, but she's going to share her secret with us today. So I'd very much like to welcome Amy to the show.
Hello, Nancy. Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you. And, you know, Amy, I first of all want to start with just a little bit of understanding of autism, right? We hear it, it's kind of turned into a common word, but I don't know that a lot of people understand exactly how it affects someone. I mean, I know originally you were diagnosed at 11 with Asperger's, which has now changed into a different name, but what is autism? What is Asperger's?
Well, that's a great question. Going by the actual definitions that exist in the DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, autism is considered a developmental disability that is hallmarked by restrictive and repetitive behavior, challenges with social skills, and sensory sensitivities. But even though those are kind of the traditional hallmarks, autism affects each person who's diagnosed with it differently. So there's an expression, if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. And that's a very true thing. So when you are talking about autism, you can't talk about it without also talking about the person, because each person really truly is different. But I would say that the thing that we, all of us have in common is those challenges with social skills and understanding nonverbal cues and also sensory challenges.
Well, and in your early years, childhood, really all through high school, you were bullied by your classmates. And it's interesting because one of the hardest things was being ignored. What is the difference between being ignored and being bullied?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, I was bullied starting around second or third grade and continued all the way through straight until I graduated high school. And, you know, and the thing was that when it started, my perspective was kind of more, why don't other people see things the way that I do? What's wrong with them? And then it changed to, why don't I see things the way other people do? What's wrong with me? And, you know, that was also kind of coinciding with the onset of puberty and all and middle school and all the cliques forming and everything. But, you know, when you're bullied, your classmates are acknowledging the fact that you exist. They're recognizing that you're there, even if it's just to spit on you. But when you're ignored, it's like you might as well not be there. You don't exist at all. And so for me, it often was a running kind of, not, well, game is the wrong word, but it was a running contest between which was better or worse, being bullied or being ignored. And I didn't have the wherewithal to differentiate between positive and negative attention at that point because I was so starved for affection and friendship and validation that if people were paying attention to me, I thought that had to be a good thing no matter what. And I didn't understand that it wasn't always.
Well, and you eventually did graduate and you went 4 hours away to college and they actually had a pre-program for those with disabilities. You felt very safe and very welcome there. But what was the most eye-opening was that you met a gal year one as a freshman and she had a sibling who had autism. And one day you were out at a bar and she recognized that you were doing a behavior where you felt overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. What was that and why did that mean so much to you?
Well, so ever since I was a little girl, I loved to squeeze flour or things that have that similar flour-like texture to soothe myself, to calm myself down. And so in this bar, which was this crappy little hole-in-the-wall dive bar in our college town, they were having kind of a beach theme going on. And so there was sand all over the floor. So I knelt down and I started squeezing the sand, much in the same way that when I would go to even my grandparents' house, the first thing I would do was go to the flower canister and stick my hand in it. And so I was doing that there in the bar. And my friend, who I was there with, looked down and saw me and said, "Oh, Amy's overwhelmed." And it was a profound moment because there was no explanation needed. There was my whole life up to that point, I had constantly felt like I needed to explain myself, justify my existence, the fact that I was a person, that I saw the world differently, that I experienced things differently, just because I didn't want people to hate me. And I lived in chronic fear of being misunderstood. I had seen what happened when I was misunderstood, which I think is what caused me to become kind of hyper-literate and very articulate in my writing and in my public speaking because of what I'd gone through at such a young age. So that was the first time.
Well, and you share about this so honestly. You know, I mean, you're very transparent and you're very real. Okay. And that realness is what allowed you to be one of 60 people in a documentary, which I find is really important because it's been worldwide. What was that called after college that you took part in?
So I was in a film for a documentary around 2005. I was actually in my senior year of college when the filming happened. It was called Normal People Scare Me, which had interviews with over 60 people on the spectrum. In it, it was directed by a young man on the spectrum, co-directed by him and his mother. And it was the first time anybody had wanted to put my voice out on a platform in that way. I had never had that happen before. They took the film all over the world. They went to Qatar. They went to the Middle East. They went to all different countries. And I heard from them that aside from the young man himself, the one person who was being asked about most in the film was me. I said, "Me?" You know, I was very surprised by that. And so it was kind of a turning point in my life then, because I did graduate college and I moved across the country to Seattle and had a whole bunch of life stuff happen there. And I began speaking professionally around that time. Around 2006 was when my professional speaking career started, although I'd been speaking at conferences since I was 14. But that was the moment where I saw that my voice had the power to help people.
Well, and that's what we're talking about today, being open with others. And I want to touch on the fact that, you know, with autism, it's different for everyone, right? But for you, you did miss the social skills, although you had developed some good friendships in college. You did find a lot of comfort in message boards and kind of connecting with people more online. And I know that you had boyfriends, you know, you'd had friends, but, you know, really it's within those message boards that you met a gentleman that you really, really fell in love with. And when we come back, Amy, I want to pick up with the time that you spent in Seattle, because this first real intimate relationship really set the tone for many, many years of you questioning yourself sexually as well as a woman. So stay with us, okay, everybody? We're going to come right back with Amy's interview on that. And it's really important that as you consider where you are in your life, where can you be more open with others? Because that's how you gain the access to live full out. I'm Nancy Soleri. This is the Living Full Out Show. We'll be right back after this break.
Listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello, my name is Jeffrey, but people in this town call me Maniac. They call me that because I'm the fastest runner in town. But just because everyone knows who I am doesn't mean I belong. I don't really belong anywhere. You see, I'm an orphan, and I wander the streets just looking for a place that I can truly call home. My name is Maniac McGee, and I'm all alone. Explore new worlds. Read my story in the novel Maniac McGee by Jerry Spinelli. For other great book ideas, visit your local library or log on to literacy.gov. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Look for the bare necessities.
The bare necessities of healthy living are easier than you think.
You better believe it.
And the food pyramid shows you the way. With just the right amount of exercise and the necessary grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Just the bare necessities of life.
So eat right, be active, and have fun.
Yeah, man.
For your own path to a healthier you, visit mypyramid.gov.
This is really living.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ag Council.
Hi, my name is Nancy Soleri, host of the Living Full Out Show. I am excited to let you know that we are now associated with Alexa. If you have Alexa in your house and you didn't know that, go ahead and find Living Full Out because you can hear us anytime you want, and we're there for you to keep you motivated. Go to your app store because we're located there as well. Just look for the Living Full Out radio show. It's important to us that we put out really inspiring programming, but we want to make sure that you have it at your fingertips when you need us most. We never know when those challenges are going to come, when we're going to feel lonely and need that motivation. So just know that when you need us, we're here for you. Check out Alexa, the app stores, or go to livingfullout.com. Here's to you living full out.
What if I could tell you that a full-blown wildfire was going to occur tomorrow, right where you live? Tell you exactly which neighborhoods it would engulf and how fast it would do it. The first thing you would do is talk with your loved ones and make a plan today. It's true, I can't tell you a wildfire will strike tomorrow, but shouldn't you make a plan anyway? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. As a life coach, Nancy can teach you how to stay strong under pressure and work through challenges you face. Being legally blind, Nancy inspires others to be resilient in overcoming obstacles and live full out. You can ask Nancy for advice in your life on relationships, finance, business, health, and more. Just call in at 800-333-0001. Once again, that's 800-333-0001. Now, here's Nancy.
Welcome back. I'm Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we are talking about being open with others. And we are going to continue our interview here with Amy Gravino, who is sharing with us about, you know, being on the autism spectrum, but yet the journey to finding out who she was as a woman and all the special gifts that are within her that even though she has autism, gosh, they've actually turned out to be a benefit and has given her a life of purpose. So I'd like to welcome Amy back to the show.
Hi, Nancy. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. You know, Amy, I really wanted you to be on the show today because it helps us to understand. And again, you said it so well earlier that not any one person on the autism spectrum is the same, right? So we know that. But it helps us to understand how one's mind might work on the spectrum. And when you had met a gentleman in Seattle for whom you fell in love with, and you were looking to lose your virginity to him, and you had it all planned out, right? You got the pill, you got the bottle of wine, you had the music, you had him dressed in a white button-down shirt. You even went as far as to buy a University of Washington Husky cheerleader outfit because you knew he liked it. What is it about all of those details, needing everything to be perfect?
Well, that's a great question. I think when I started finally having experiences of dating and sexuality, which I didn't have until college, that was when I had my first boyfriend, I was still in this place of low self-confidence, low self-esteem. And my thought was, if I screw this up, you know, nobody will ever want to date me again. That was the thought process with my first boyfriend. And then with this guy who I had met on a message board and then met in person when I went to Seattle on spring break my senior year, and then I moved out there and fell for him even more. The thought process was similarly, but it was more along the lines of, if I, you know, mess this up, he'll never want to have sex with me again. Nobody will ever want to have sex with me again. So,
I was just going to say, and you did something that I think is very innovative, really interesting. You gave him afterwards a comment card, kind of like one would have for their stay at a hotel. And so I think that's actually genius. I think there should be more comment cards. But why did you feel the need to do that?
Well, I, as I was saying, I really wanted to be prepared. And I thought I had all this knowledge because I had written erotic fiction since I was 14 years old. That was the one outlet I had for my sexuality. And I thought I knew about sex and I thought I was prepared. But then I realized I need feedback. I need information to know if I've done a good job. And that's when I realized that you can fill out a card when you stay at a hotel or eat at a restaurant. And so I decided to make the sexual intercourse comment card, which had questions on it. What did you enjoy most about this session? What didn't happen you'd like to have happen in the future? Please rate the following from 1 to 5, my outfit, pre-intercourse, my vocal volume, my facial expressions. But it wasn't until many years later that I came to realize there was actually a problem with those questions. It was a problem I didn't understand at the time. And the problem with those questions was that they were all about his pleasure and his enjoyment. There was nothing about my pleasure. There was not a word. And so my needs came secondary, if at all, in the equation, which is something that as women, I think we just face in general in society, but it's just as true for autistic women, that we end up putting our needs behind other people. So that was the genesis of the card. And when I told a colleague of mine about it, he said, Amy, that's the most autistic thing I've ever heard, and the world would be a better place if more people did that. So other people agree with you there.
Well, I think it was genius, personally. But I'm glad that you saw the flip side of it, that really the question should have been more about you. Now, he did ultimately, it's a really, really twisty, turny story, but he ended up breaking your heart. He was a cheater. He had a girlfriend. I mean, I feel like we've all dated that guy once, right? So I have too. But, you know, what was so interesting and endearing is, you know, through that heartbreak, and we've all been there, and this has nothing to do actually with being on the spectrum. This has everything to do with being able to let go in life and find closure. I mean, you really, you cried, you got angry, you set that cheerleader outfit on fire, you went through the entire grieving process. But it took you, when you were in New Orleans, you found out he was working as a bartender at a hotel, just blocks from your hotel. But this is like 7 to 8 years later. What made you need that closure so far later? And what did you find?
So when I found out that he had a girlfriend, the time that he'd conveniently forgotten to tell me about, I found all this out on the phone and online. We never had a face-to-face confrontation because he was that much of a coward. And something in my mind, in my whatever you want to call it, belief structure, I don't know, thought that you had to have that face-to-face confrontation to finally get that closure. And it had, you know, I didn't know if I was ever going to have another opportunity. And so it was by sheer coincidence that he was a bartender in this hotel in New Orleans, 3 blocks from the hotel where I was staying. And so I was still kind of looking for that closure. And so against my better judgment and against my mother's better judgment, my mother was there with me in New Orleans. I went to the hotel one day and I walked into the bar and I see someone from behind, kind of looks like him, and it's not him. And I said, is he working here today? And he wasn't working that day. And in that moment, I had a flood of emotions rush over me, and I realized and I knew in my core, in my gut, that there was never going to be any closure that I could get from him that I hadn't already gotten from myself. There was nothing he could do for me. Maybe there was nothing he ever could have done for me. But I just was so kind of fixed on this idea of just wanting to be able to put it behind me. And I knew then that I had to go to that bar to know that I didn't have to go to that bar. So it was a huge kind of seminal moment, although a small one at the same time.
Power to you, sister. I love it. You got your own closure, and that's the main thing. And the other thing I want to share about your story is you obviously went along and went to go to graduate school, and you chose to have a thesis about, you know, helping people, you know, autism, you know, ask people out on their first date, dating, sexuality. That really became a focus to you. In fact, so much so that you did a TEDx talk on autism and sexuality. What is the connection between those two? Why are you so passionate about that?
About autism and sexuality, you mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, so something that a lot of people may not realize is that much of the supports and services that exist in the autism world are geared toward children. We still have an image of autism that is largely based around children. So people tend to think of it as a childhood condition. And so there are very few services for adults on the spectrum. And I knew this from firsthand experience and just from all the people that I know who, you know, have been struggling as adults who have been here. And then all the kids now are going to grow up to become autistic adults. And so I knew that there's a vulnerability that autistic people have. I knew that from firsthand experience from everything that I went through, where, you know, it's very easy to be taken advantage of, to be abused by people when you're someone who's very trusting and who wants to be loved and to give love. And I wanted to spare autistic people from going through what I went through if I possibly could in some way. So I'm only one person, but I am trying to do everything in my power to make a difference. My thesis, again, most of my classmates were focused on early intervention, working with kids on the spectrum. I was the only one trying to do a study that revolved around adults. So it was new, uncharted territory for me and for my professors. But I knew it was important. I knew it was necessary. And I've always felt comfortable talking about sex. I never felt any shame around it. As I said, I started writing erotic fiction when I was 14. And then 10 years ago, I started a website that publishes erotic fiction about the Monkees, the band from the 1960s. So it's always been something I felt comfortable with. And I began presenting on it in 2013 with a colleague of mine that I mentioned before who talked about the comment card. And it's just gotten bigger and bigger since then. The need has just grown exponentially. People are finally starting to slowly wake up and realize how important this is. But we still have a long way to go.
So. Well, I celebrate the entrepreneurial spirit, and you had, like for so many, right, holding a job had been difficult, not, you know, sometimes judged, sometimes just not the right timing, and you did decide to start your own business to help people with autism later in life as adults. What is that called?
So my business is called Ascot Consulting, which stands for Autism Spectrum Coaching and Other Techniques. I did start that in 2010, and I initially was going to be a college coach for students on the spectrum. And then, as I say, the sexuality stuff just started taking off and getting bigger and bigger. And I've been very fortunate, actually, to be working for the past year now for Rutgers University as a relationship coach in the Rutgers Center for Adult Autism Services. So,
well, I have one last question for you, Amy, because we have to go shortly. But I think this is really, really important. If someone is a parent of a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 20-year-old with autism, and the spectrum's different for everyone, what should they do to equip their budding adult?
The best thing you can do is, if you want to keep your child safe, is to empower them. Give them information, give them knowledge. You don't keep someone safe by denying them information. You don't preserve someone's innocence in that way. All you do is make them vulnerable and susceptible. So give people information, help them be in control of their bodies and their experiences so that nobody can take advantage of them. And see your child as a fully realized human being. Know that they have the same sexual needs and desires as anyone else, and they're going through the same physical changes as their typical peers. And it's hard for everyone, but it's not always autism, it's just growing up. So,
you know what?
Give your child as much as you can.
Well said, Amy. And thank you so much for being on today's show. It is a really important topic, and And, you know, we're just going to keep on rooting for you along the way. Okay? Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
And, you know, we always want to bring topics and guests to you that we think are really important so that we can all move forward together. And my heart and arms go out to everyone who has a loved one on the spectrum, but we want everyone to live full lives despite their disability. And I can say, as a legally blind person, I wouldn't want to be held back either. So if you want to hear today's show again, make sure you go to livingfullout.com. Also, if you have an inspirational story we'd like to hear from you, reach out to us at connect@livingfullout.com. Give us your name, your contact information, and what you went through. And perhaps, just like Amy, we can have you on the show. Most importantly, we'll be right back after this break. It's all about being open with others as you live full out. We'll be back.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the shelterpetproject.org.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something, and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text.
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. So many comments on my comment.
Hey, guys, check out my new video game.
Mom, what?
Huh?
Pew, pew.
What'd you say?
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. It's against my religion. I'm giving my dog a bath. You can have pictures of that. Pressure gives me hives. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. Hold on. Let me ask my mom. Sorry, my webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. Unfortunately, I just had my clothes surgically attached to my body. If they got out, I might never be president. I'm already naked, under my clothes. Not even if you were all three Jonas Brothers. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. The more you ask, the less I want to. You're not the boss of me. Nudity makes me vomit. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat?
Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
Football stadium.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
What? What about our plan to win the lottery and start living? You know, travel the world on matching yachts, wear enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacation on the French Riviera, and then buy it.
You know we're never going to win the lottery, right?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
When it comes to being open with others, it's about trust. Trusting that the other person will receive what you have to say in a safe way. But if not, you have to trust yourself that you will get through it, that there is a greater purpose in sharing your story and being authentic, because then you are living full out.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. Nancy is here as a guide to show you how to rise above obstacles and savor each moment. If you have a question, call in live at 800-333-0001. That's 800-333-0001. And now, here's Nancy.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we're talking about being open with others. But that oftentimes starts with being open with ourselves, right? And kind of facing what is working in life and what is not working. Because only to tell other people enables you to be able to verbalize what it is that you're going through. I remember in the early years of losing my vision, people would say, you know, Nancy, what do you see? And I would just be like, what do I see? What do I see? And sometimes it was hard to find the way to talk about graininess or blurriness, or sometimes it was hard because I didn't want to scare them off. I didn't want them to be, you know, to pity me, right? But I remember putting a lot of that aside. And when I could tell people what I saw or what I, in case, didn't see, you know, that allowed them to have a greater understanding of things that I do well that, despite not seeing, they're proud of. Or I had a good girlfriend one time who actually squinted her eyes and blindfolded herself, and she wanted to experience for half a day what it was like to be me. And that really empowered our friendship and gave us a greater connection. So again, that all came from being open with her and ultimately open with others. So I just encourage you to look at where you can be, you know, put yourself more out there today in your life. Now, I'm getting word from our producer that we do have a listener on the line. We're going to go say hello. Hi, welcome to the Living Full Out Show.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Absolutely. Hi there, Nancy. I have a question for you. I returned to full-time work about 9 months ago, and with my commitments to work and family and maintaining a home, I'm struggling to find time for myself. I enjoy spending time with my family and exercise, but I'd love to also find time to meditate and maybe even just walk the dog. Do you have any suggestions for how I might structure my day so that I can find time for these things?
Well, number one, the dog is raising his paw saying, take me, take me. Okay, so you've already got one fan in you wanting to make these changes. But it is tricky, right? Because we want to be yes people. Like, we don't want to say no. We don't want to say I can't, right? So I bet you say yes to almost everything, right?
I say yes to a lot of things, yeah.
Exactly. And and although you are, a thriving as a mom, thriving in life with friends, sometimes we have to remember who we were before all those commitments. You know, kind of sometimes getting back to the silly things. Because if everything in life is dun-dun-dun-dun serious, right? If everything in life is scheduled, we lose that whimsical, fun part of who we were as a child, or, you know, adolescence or the college years. And so it's kind of a two-part answer for me for you. On one hand, yes, when it comes to time, I find that, like, I oftentimes wake up at 4:30, 5 in the morning, because I want to make sure that I get at least a good hour and a half to 2 hours of Nancy time before anybody's calling me. And that just might be watching TV. That might be walking my service dog, Charlie. That might be just fiddling around on the computer. Just, it's like nothingness time. It's such a joy, right? But if I didn't do that and I was like just running late, then I would feel a little bit gypped of my Nancy time. And I know that you probably have that gypped feeling, right? So you have to budget in that time. And then that same goes for end of the day, right? If sometimes people will work or do or serve other people right up till the minute they go to bed. But then you go to bed feeling exhausted. And then the last thing I want to say is make sure that you allow yourself to have that childlike sense of wonder. You know, have ice cream cones, you know, run like a child, go to a park and jump on a trampoline. Now, I'm being over dramatic, but you want to find something that brings out that inner child and not having to be the adult all the time. Can you do those things?
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. That makes sense. I appreciate your wisdom. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, and I wish you all the best. We'll be thinking of you. Thank you for calling in. And for everybody, we have been so just cranking it here behind the scenes, wanting to make sure that you are being open with others, that we got resources we'd like to give you to be able to do that, because everybody's circumstances are different. You might need to be open about a heartbreak, open about a disability, open about so many different things in your life. And so contact us at connect@livingfullout.com if you need more support. And most of all, we are all about motivation, you know, whether it be on social media, whether it be this Living Full Out show. Feel free to go to livingfullout.com. Make sure you check out more of our episodes. Remember, if you are in the car or at the gym or on the go, go to the App Store. Look out for the Living Full Out Radio app. Or if you're at home cleaning, you can, and even Alexa, will put us in as a skill. Most of all, know that I believe in you very much. And here is you, Living Full Out. Enjoy.
Thank you for listening to the Living Full Out Show with Nancy Solari. To learn more about this program, visit livingfullout.com for the latest episodes. Connect with the Living Full Out community by following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and subscribing to our YouTube channel. If you have an inspirational story you want to share, email us at connect@livingfullout.com. Here's to you, Living Full Out.